I'm going to bring to you four messages on the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. The first one is one concerning the Savior and what happened to him, first of all, at the cross. I have called it Tempering with the One and Only Gospel by Wicked Men, and their damnation illustrated by their personal attack on the incarnate Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is on the cross, and at the cross he is going to suffer, to bleed and to die for sinners such as we are. The climax against Christ of that time in Jerusalem was one of anger and hatred and jealousy and a cry for death. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come to a place where he is the rejected Son of the Most High God, rejected by the man and woman he has created and will be created in the days to come. Ah, what a day that was, a day of weeping. A day of weeping when Christ was in the dust. The great Son of God, second person of the glorious Trinity, was now suffering, not for anything he had said or done, but for we sinners who need to find redemption through his shed blood. The first point I want you to think about is the apostolic shock that Christ has been renamed. At the cross, he has ceased to be seen as the friend of mankind to whom he has come to die for. Instead, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. How terrible to watch the wrath of sinful men. And how terrible we feel when we have to indict ourselves and say, yes, I did it too. And if I had been at Jerusalem, I would have been one who had attempted to kill the blessed Son of God. After man fell in the Garden Eden, there was nothing for us but to be marked among the man and woman that would be born, and we would be marked as sinners. What sin we have committed, the greatest sin of all, to kill the blessed Son of God. Oh, the darkness that must have come to the heart of Adam and Eve when they joined up with the old devil and hell to disobey the orders of the committing of the wonderful characteristics of the commandments. They were tested. They were tried. And they failed. And they struck the hand that was there to help them and to save them. How triumphant, however, is the victory that came out of the death of Christ. Let us go back to the Garden of Eden. Let us mark how terrible the satanic attack on Eve and Adam was. Satan marched triumphantly up to Adam's wife, Eve, and he rejoiced over what she had done and what she had got her husband to do as well. No wonder the prophet Daniel could write that there was a way that was taken by the first two parents of the human race. And it was a way that is marked with this very solemn and wonderful prophecy of Daniel himself, carried in the Old Testament. And we read up here about the crucifixion and about what was said of the crucifixion. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Daniel at the chapter 9 and at the verse 17. Daniel is speaking there of what he saw of the mighty cross of Calvary. And what a vision he had of what was happening at the cross when he first saw the light and the burden of his heart rolled away. But of course, this new year that we have seen and heard with the cry of Christ upon the cross, there is something about it. Seconds follow seconds. Minutes follow minutes. Hours follow hours. Days follow days. Weeks follow weeks. Months follow more than this. And years follow years and live to follow lives. The thundering race speeds on to the great judgment day. We must all needs die and leave this era of our lives after this, the judgment. We need to remember how quickly we fly away, never to return to this earth in a present body that we have. We are going down the valley one by one, with our faces toward the setting of the sun. die in the valley where the mournful cypress grows, where the trees in silence onward grow. We are going down the valley. We are going down the valley, one by one. Now with our faces towards the setting of the sun, we need to be quiet in mind, in heart, with tongue, and with conscience. The flowers of life are dying. The value of life on earth is gone, and all on earth are summons to that great judgment hour, that great day of the final judgments of God upon sinners. Alas, in time, we are so easily removed from the grace of Christ onto another gospel, which is really not another gospel. We have only to go back to our father's father and mother's mother, Adam and Eve, and view the downward of the fall of all the partakers in Adam's fall. We are all worked with the mark of doom for hell, except we turn to Calvary and wash our robes in the pardoning blood of the Lamb. We shall be damned forevermore. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What a black, damnable character is he who once was Lucifer, son of the morning. And then he rebelled against the triune Jehovah God. And he was cast down to hell. And ever since, he and his fallen angels have united to do as much damage as they can do to the pure and holy God of heaven. Paul groaned over the dam, and he cried, "I am amazed that ye are so soon removed from the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not one of good news, but one of eternal damnation." What a hell black damn person Satan is, and how black is the path he pursues, and the hellish acts of his destroying our souls. Satan wants to have us damned, to see us in the pit of hell and in the darkness of hell forevermore. He is doing all that he can do to find his determination wrought out in you and me. Eternity, eternity, damned for all eternity. That is the all important thing we must escape I was reading recently a great sermon by the Reverend R.A. Torrey. He was a fellow worker with the famous D.L. Moody. And he says in this sermon that I was reading this week, these are stirring words, startling words. Listen to them. What does it say? He which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death. That is what I want to do. I want to save a soul from death. Every soul that has erred and sinned is lost. The gates of hell are wide open. The fires are burning. The sentence has been decided, and we are doomed if we don't receive the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is a great privilege to save human life. One day I was sitting on the deck of a sailboat. The boom swung through the water, but suddenly a young man who had been sitting by the side of the water, by the force of the passing boat, was pulled down into the water. I was glad at the thought that I had perhaps served a fellow man from death. But when that saving of the soul from death had come about, the life was to be saved, even of the body is to be lost. The young man to which I referred accidentally shot himself in a few years. One soul saved from eternity is worth a million souls saved for 10, 15, 20, or 50 years. And now more fearful is that which is concerning the soul. Is there a death? Yes. Is there no hope after death for me? No, you must make your decision now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, to be saved. God's grace is free. Oh, to be saved. He died for thee. Whosoever cries unto the Lord shall be saved. None may perish. All may look for Christ has died. And so we have discovered that great happening when we are called, first of all, by the call of the gospel, to turn to Christ and trust in him. But let's turn to number two, the sad declension. If such be the far-spreading power and the manifold and fearful responsibilities of our office, other fathers and brethren well might demand who uttered the words before us, admonish the Colossian pastor Archippus that he should take heed to the ministry which he had received of the Lord. That is, that he should fulfill it, and well might he bind upon his conscience the words of the beloved disciple and make full proof of his ministry. And a fitting termination was it to the announcement of the Ephesian pastors, that they take heed therefore to themselves no less than to all their flock. Wherein have we failed to make the fulfillment and full proof of our ministry? For it is not the interests of others alone that are concerned. Let us look to ourselves, for the responsibilities of our office are entwined with our own well-being for time and through eternity. We pass, therefore, to inquire the methods which we may, by the remission of God, have drawn upon our hands the blood of sinners, that we may not fail to warn them and encourage them to flee from the wrath that is to come. Were we to imagine a herald sent forth to the people of villages of a revolted province with the proclamation from their prince, charged to promise a free pardon to all who might submit and return to their allegiance, commissioned to pronounce a sure and overwhelming vengeance against all persevering in their mad rebellion, and instructed with all to every group of villagers he should meet by the wayside, and to every traveller who shares in the journeying, we can readily see to what mode his duties must be discharged, or he remained guilty to his prince, guilty of unfaithfulness, and to the revolter of a murderous treachery. He might suppress the document, and he might substitute a forgery of his own imagination, or while disclosing it in part, he might interpolate and abridge and erase and amend and suppress one act and one distorted the other, until the proclamation has read to the crowd who gathered at his feet might be to their ears bring a meaningless uttering alien to that which has stirred the heart of the king from whom it emanated. Such an unfaithful ambassador deserves the blackness of the darkness of hell itself. Hear me. Don't be a damn fool. Turn ye, for why will you die? Listen, the light is shining. The light of the eternal God is directing your pathway. Hear me. Don't be damned. Turn ye, oh, turn thee, for why wilt thou die? Listen, the light of the everlasting God is shining upon you. Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Salvation to the uttermost can be yours. Right now, cry out, and the beloved Savior will save you right now. Salvation to the uttermost can be yours right now. Remember the act of the personal salvation. And hear my counsel, and turn to the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. May God bless his holy word. Amen and amen.